Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of Thomas. I'll read the introduction, sayings 1, 2, 77, and 109. Listen for a word from God. These are the secret sayings which the living Jesus spoke, and which Didymus, Judas, Thomas, wrote down. And he said, whoever finds the interpretation of these sayings will not experience death. Jesus said, let him who seeks continue seeking until he finds. When he finds, he will become troubled. When he becomes troubled, he will be astonished, and he will rule over the all. Jesus said, it is I who am the light which is above them all. It is I who am the all. From me did all come forth, and unto me did the all extend. Split a piece of wood, and I am there. Lift up the stone, and you will find me there. Jesus said, the kingdom is like a man who had a hidden treasure in his field without knowing it. And after he died, he left it to his son. The son did not know about the treasure. He inherited the field and sold it. And the one who bought it went plowing and found the treasure. He began to lend money at interest to whomever he wished. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you even for these texts outside of the canon that you meet us in today. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds to the message you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a birthday season in our home. Jared's birthday was a couple of weeks ago. Mine's coming up in a couple of weeks. And I know some of you have birthdays in this season. We have other friends and family members. It's a popular time to be born. But it's brought up the old debate that we've talked about a bit here before about when you get presents and if you keep it a surprise. Jared does not like delayed gratification. Naima and I love it. So when we were preparing for Jared's birthday, Naima bought him a gift that she was so excited about. It was a Mario Kart video game controller, and she just knew he was going to love it. So we bought it maybe the week before his birthday, and she shared when we got home, Dad, I got you a present. I'm really excited about it. He said, what is it? Give it to me now. Why don't you just give it to me now? And he was serious. He really had And she said, no, I can't give it to you until your birthday, which is very much my rule. You wait until the day. If a card comes in the mail, you wait until your birthday to open it. You want that day to be as great as possible. But Garrett says, if it's purchased, it's mine and it's my birthday. I get to decide. So give it to me right now, even if it's in the Target bag. I don't care if it's wrapped. Just give it to me now. He cannot wait. So Naima held her ground and she said, no, I am not giving it to you until your birthday. And he said, well, why are you keeping a secret from me? Just playing with her. And she said something brilliant. She said, Dad, it's not a secret. It's a surprise. Which was so smart, right? Because a secret sort of has this air of hiding something, being nefarious about it, right? Obscuring something intentionally. And we all know secrets can be really, really harmful. But a surprise has a different end in mind. A surprise might be holding something back, but for a greater good. And so we've started to use that language now, which I love. We're not keeping secrets. We might have a surprise. Well, we have been spending this summer looking at the Apocrypha. And this was something several of you requested as we've engaged with some of these texts and Bible studies. And it has been so interesting to look at these books that are not officially part of the Protestant canon, but have really formed the way that Christians and even our Jewish siblings have been formed throughout the centuries. And so for most of the summer, we've looked at texts that come from the 4th, 3rd, 2nd century BCE, texts that sort of come about in that intertestamental period between the Old and New Testaments. But today, we get to look at a New Testament apocryphal book, the Gospel of Thomas. And this is very short. This is it. printed out. It is 114 sayings attributed to Jesus. And it's called a gospel, but unlike the gospel text we know in our Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is not a story about Jesus. It says nothing about his birth or what he did in life or the crucifixion or resurrection. It instead just lists 114 sayings attributed to Jesus. Some of them are very short. Some of them are short little parables, like the one I read about the man in the field and the treasure. And they're said to be written by a twin. Some say it is the twin of Jesus. Some say it is just a twin, Didymus Thomas. And in my reading, as I go through these 114 sayings, three of which we heard today, I noticed that they sort of fall into three different categories. This is just my own sort of broad recognition. The first set of categories are the sayings where it feels like, oh, yeah, this sounds exactly like the gospel or very similar to what we read in other places of the gospel. Things like number 90, Jesus said, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my lordship is mild. Number 94, Jesus says, he who seeks will find and he who knocks will be let in. Number 26, you see the mote in your sibling's eye, but you do not see the beam in your own eye. When you cast the beam out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to cast the mote from your sibling's eye. Those all sound familiar, right? Things we're used to in the Gospels. The second category of sayings that you'll find in the Gospel of Thomas are what I call the head scratchers, the ones that you get to and think, what? This does not really resonate with what I know of Jesus or the early Christian faith. They just might seem a little bizarre. Things like number 98. The kingdom of God is like a person wanting to kill a council person. So he tested out his strength by stabbing a wall and then killed that person. Good luck interpreting that one. Number 114. Mary isn't worthy because she's a woman, but I'll lead her to make her male, and then she can enter the kingdom of heaven. I have a few problems with that one. And it doesn't seem to resonate with the Jesus I know who encounters and engages and empowers women. But then the third category of sayings are the ones that are curious, that make my imagination go wild, that stretch me and give me a new perspective on early Christianity and the ways that our ancestors in faith maybe understood themselves and God and Jesus. Those are the ones that I chose to read for us today. Number two, when you seek, you will become troubled and astonished and find me. 77, split a piece of wood and Jesus is there, lift up a rock and Jesus is there. And number 109, the kingdom of God is like a man who had a field with treasure but didn't realize it. He missed out on the treasure, but eventually someone explored and found it. The Gospel of Thomas has been around since the second century CE. It was written likely in 100 to 150. Scholars knew it existed for one thing. They saw little excerpts of it in Greek, but they didn't know what the whole was until 1945 with the discovery at Mount Amadi, when farmers in this town in Egypt were digging for fertilizer and uncovered this huge 6-foot jar sealed with 52 ancient texts bound in leather inside. They were written in Coptic, translated from Greek, and had treasures like the Gospel of Thomas, the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Truth, and things that we had never seen in their entirety until then. It was an incredible discovery of this library that had been buried for 1,600 years. So this discovery brought to light some of these Christian thoughts and understandings that people had in the beginning, but things and voices that had almost disappeared from view, likely intentionally because they were pushed to the margins. And it's this beautiful reminder that even from the very beginning, Christianity has been diverse and people have been asking and seeking very different things. So the Gospel of Thomas is not in our Bible, but it's a representation of the way that people understood God and Jesus, and there's so much to gain from studying it. The Gospel of Thomas has two major accusations thrown against it, reasons that it likely is not included in the canon. First is that it presents a very mystical Jesus. And second is that it promotes a kind of Gnosticism, a Gnostic philosophy or theology. Likely the reasons why it was pushed to the margins to begin with, even if there weren't official terms for those things like mysticism and Gnosticism quite yet. But Gnosticism grows out of the philosophies of Plato, and in a very oversimplification, it has to do with the dualism between body and soul. And there's this idea that the soul, the true life, is what is holy, and everything material is evil. And in Gnostic traditions, there is this great emphasis on secret knowledge, on hidden knowledge, on things that are only revealed to the elite. There is a knowledge of God, but it is not for everyone. It is only for a few, and you have to sort of be selected to be revealed and to be in the know with this secret tradition. There are pieces that feel very Gnostic in the Gospel of Thomas, but not entirely, and I don't think that's the whole story. When I look at Christianity that I know, I look at the God that I have encountered through the Bible and through my life experience and through even the natural world, I see a God that wants to be known, that doesn't have a secret club for only the right people. I don't see a hidden truth that is blocked away from people. I see a God that wants to be known, that seeks us as we seek God. It is interesting, though, to note that the word apocrypha actually means hidden things or obscured. And so these are the texts that maybe have been hidden, but also maybe they help reveal things about who God is to us. So I want us to think for just a moment about that saying about the man with the field and the treasure. He had a treasure but didn't know it, and after he died, he left it to his son. The son didn't know about it, sold the field, and the one who bought it went plowing. Then the treasure was found. People who say the Gospel of Thomas is a Gnostic text would say this points to a secret knowledge. I like to look at it a little bit differently. Because as it turns out, there's not just a category called secret and surprise. There's another category, which is that of mystery. God might be mysterious, but it is a mystery that we are invited to go into deeper and deeper and deeper. Mysteries we're able to enter in and investigate. In mysteries, we are always looking for more clues. And in mysteries, there's always more to uncover, even if it has been quote-unquote, solved. Several years ago now, one of the first viral podcasts went out called Serial. Did anybody listen to Serial? Are you familiar with it? Yep. Okay. I see some nods. It profiled this murder case that happened, what, in the late 90s, I think it was. And over a series of episodes, it, you know, investigated this case. And I remember talking with friends and family members about it because it just sort of swept the nation and people were listening to this over and over and over. And near the end of it, you still aren't really sure what happened. People have their theories and their camps and they, but I was so amazed when someone first told me about this podcast that there could be so much material about one case. And then I think there was even a spinoff, wasn't there? I don't know what the other one, but there's been shows, there's been double podcasts of investigation into one mystery. And we see this all the time, even with cases where we think it is solved, that people dwell deeply within them, and there's always more to find and something else to uncover. And when we think about it in a faith context, there is not something to solve with God. But there is a mystery of God's presence that we will never fully understand, and an open invitation to explore, to dig, to plow the fields right beneath our feet, and to seek the ways God shows up. God's presence is not a secret. It is not hidden from us intentionally to confuse us. It is all around us. But if we don't pay attention, we miss it and pass it along. The treasure in this man's field is right under his feet, but he wasn't able to discover it because he didn't do the digging. When we take time to be in the place where we are, to invest in the people and the things and the places around us, we can't help but see God's presence all around. Last summer, we were invited onto a sailboat in the Detroit River that was a scientific research boat. And they taught all the kids while we were there how they do the research of the water and the wildlife. And they brought us down below deck with this huge microscope and invited the kids to take out a drop of water and put it under the microscope. And they projected it on the wall. And when that projection went up and you'd see all the living organisms in that one drop of water swimming around, Naima looked at me and said, "That's in that drop of water?" A little horrified and a little amazed. But what happens when we look closely at the things that are right under our feet is that we see so much life. I think the same is true when we're willing to invest in the people all around us, when we're willing to go beyond a weather surface level conversation. The treasures of the people in this room and in this space, the deep stories that you hold are such evidence of God's love and of experiences of both pain and joy, but of presence of God's Spirit. The very ground we are standing on has so much history if we look and if we dwell. Some have said, in absence of anything else, the thumb alone would be proof enough of God's existence. That if you actually look at the miraculousness of your own thumb and the way that it bends at just the right angle and the things that that allows you to do, it is such a miracle. Your thumb is a miracle. A drop of water is a miracle. The people that we are with are miracles and reflections of God's treasure. The Gospel of Thomas reminds me not that God has secret truths that are intentionally hidden from us, but there is this beautiful surprise and mystery that we are invited into that is God's presence all around that is so infused with grace and with love and with joy if we are open to it. The Gospel of Thomas is a reminder to me and an invitation for all of us to explore that, to plow the fields of our relationships and of the natural world around us, of the opportunities in front of us, of the connections that we have and the relationships we have, to seek that presence of God. So be open to those mysteries, knowing that there is treasure amongst us and between us and below us that God is in the business of revealing. Would you pray? God, thank you for these texts full of mystery and confusion and also your presence. Let us lean into the mysteries of texts, even that are outside of the canon, of spiritual practices that don't immediately resonate with us, of people we don't understand, of our own beliefs. Open us up to the treasures that are right under our feet, even in seasons of unpredictability. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.